Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today we're going to do High Ticket Dropshipping 101. We're going to walk through what is dropshipping in the first place? What is high ticket dropshipping? Why high ticket is better, in John, in my opinion? And then what does it actually look like to start high? How much does it cost to start high ticket dropshipping? So I think you have the simplest explanation of dropshipping I've ever heard, John. I'm sure a lot of people have heard the term dropshipping before. What is dropshipping? In the simplest terms, what is dropshipping?
So, yeah, man. I mean, in the simplest terms, dropshipping is simply a method of e-commerce fulfillment. That's it. That's all it is. People confuse the term dropshipping. They go Shopify dropshipping, or they associate dropshipping with Shopify or something like that. No. Like, it's not platform specific. It's not anything. It's just a method of getting a product from one warehouse to the customer in a particular way. That's it. That's all is meant by the term dropshipping. So dropshipping happens all over the place. Yes, people do it on Shopify. Amazon does it. Walmart does it. Lots of big brands do it. It's a very, very common thing. Dropshipping has been happening for about as long as e-commerce has been around. So once again, a lot of people associate dropshipping as being a more recent kind of development in the e-commerce space, like the last 5 or 6 years, you know, hit the pop-up of AliExpress dropshipping really popped off and all of that sort of thing. But the reality is dropshipping has been happening for more than 20 years, right? I like literally know people who have been dropshipping for 20 years, like running dropshipping businesses for that long. It's been around longer than that. So that's all it is. It's dropshipping is customer places an order on an e-commerce website that does not hold stock or inventory of that product. That website takes the payment from the customer, does the customer service, the marketing, takes the payment and places that order with their supplier, you know, this, or manufacturer of the product, or a supplier, distributor, different names for that person. That company holds the stock in a warehouse and the order gets shipped from that warehouse directly to the customer. That's dropshipping in a nutshell. You know, as we're going to get into, there are nuances to what the model looks like and how you can do it and all of that sort of thing. And some definitely work better than others. But at its basic level, I mean, that's all it is. It shouldn't be overcomplicated. But I think it's important to recognize, like, people often ask questions like, is dropshipping a scam? Is dropshipping legal? Is dropshipping da-da-da-da-da when they're looking at getting into it? The reality is dropshipping has been happening about as long as people have been using the internet to buy stuff. So it's not new. It's not a scam.
It's framed as a business model, right? Like not a method of fulfillment. And so, you know, I often use the sauna method. If I sell saunas on mysaunasite.com and you buy a Sunlighten sauna from me, I take your money. I contact Sunlighten, who ships you Model X. You're none the wiser. It shows up at your doorstep from my sauna. It says a little label from me on there. And you have no idea that that's been dropshipped. This is happening every day across many industries. Wayfair might be the biggest example of that. They used to be 100 tiny little dropshipping stores and combined into Wayfair, where they still today dropship many, many, many items. And so, it's become a business model, right? Like, I'm trying to not relate it to MLMs, but, like, you know, everyone's got a little business. Does this work? Is this a scam kind of thing? Like you mentioned, dropshipping gets lumped into this all-encompassing business model rather than it's simply a method of fulfillment that can be attached to many different business models. For us, we like to do it a very specific way and sell high-ticket products. Mm-hmm. We want to sell things that are not $10, $20 trinkets junk from AliExpress that are shipped from China that show up 30 days later in a heavily taped box and severely disappoint the customer. I'm sure you've seen some of these trinkets. I see them often on, like, Twitter ads. You can definitely see them on TikTok ads or Facebook ads, or most of them are complete junk. In fact, I have one right here, actually. Like, I bought this little monocle that doesn't work at all. It doesn't zoom in. You can't see anything through it. And I bought it to kind of show the process for some of our students. But You know, we like high ticket dropshipping, and more so, we like selling real brands that you've definitely heard of that are coming from local suppliers near you. If you are in the US and you're in the sauna market, you've heard of Sunlighten, you've heard of Clearlight, you've heard of the brands that exist in the space. And those are the brands, those are the suppliers, those are the dropshipping suppliers, manufacturers that we're going to go find, not some, you know, app like DSers or using AliExpress or any of those tools.
Hey, if you've been thinking about starting your high ticket dropshipping journey with us here at Dropship Breakthrough, but you've got questions, you're unsure about what's inside the course, you're unsure if it's right for you, or you just love to hear from the experience of our students, you can jump on a free call right now with a member of our team who is also a Dropship Breakthrough student and successful high ticket dropshipper to talk about all of those things. Just head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call and book your call today. Yeah, yeah. And so I know a lot of people are probably going to listen to this episode or start listening to the Dropship podcast because it is the Dropship podcast, right? Who have heard about some of that stuff. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, and we see them come into our public Facebook group often and that sort of thing. And they're like, oh, I'm starting this, you know, low ticket store. I'm selling, you know, I don't know, dog widgets or fake eyelashes or something like that. Like, can somebody help me out? So I think there's still a lot of people that are out there talking about that kind of, you know, like we kind of lump dropshipping into kind of not so much platforms when we think about it. I know a lot of people think about eBay dropshipping or Amazon dropshipping or Shopify dropshipping. We kind of think about it just simply as low ticket and high ticket, right? I think, and that's I think a much better way of framing it. Why high ticket? Like, I mean, you know, we talk about we prefer it, but like literally, like Ben, why do we prefer it?
Yeah, I wrote some notes down over here because I've said this a few times and I want to get my words right. So the biggest thing that I like to see is demand capture versus demand generation. So going back to that sauna reference, how likely are you to buy a sauna on a Facebook ad? You're scrolling, you see, first of all, I can't scroll Facebook very much anymore. And I'm at the age where, you know, you probably should be on Facebook. I can't stand it. But if you're scrolling or Instagram and some, hey, have you thought about buying a sauna? Like, that's demand generation. You have to generate the demand for this product. Whereas when we sell high ticket products from brands you've definitely heard of, we're capturing that demand. People are already going to Google and searching for the products that we sell as a retailer. And yes, we choose to drop ship them to our customers. That's the method of fulfillment, as John said. But we're out here selling products people have definitely heard of. They're in the market for. They're reputable brands. So that's the number one thing. When it comes to high ticket specifically, I think we used to say 800 or higher. I think over the last few years, when everybody sees their dollar doesn't go as far, I might say 1,000 or more is my new baseline here. So 1,000 or more, and they're just as easy to sell. So I like to use this analogy, right? If you sold $30 products, in order to do $30,000 in revenue, you'd need to sell 1,000 $30 little monocles that don't work. Now, if you wanted to sell a $3,000 product, you would only need to make 10 sales. So first off, what sounds easier to you, making 10 sales in a month or making 1,000 sales in a month? And how many employees do you need to process 1,000 orders in a month versus 10 orders in a month you could easily do yourself, right? You're going to have less damages and returns with 10 orders versus 1,000. You're going to have less overhead, less risk. And the best part is, honestly, John, you can start a business like this for $500 or less. So I like the returns you can make on selling high ticket items that get bought every day in this country. But I like it even more that you can start a business model like this with relatively little risk, you know, given that It does cost money to start something, but it doesn't cost that much money.
Yeah, but like surely selling high ticket products is more risky.
What's like, we have heard this before, right? And so I would challenge like who's ever saying that. What is risky about it to you? Like I think when I came in, again, I grew up relatively lower middle class. We weren't buying $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 items. But as soon as I got in this industry, and I've been in it since 2015, John, you've been in it since 2014. The first thing I was selling was 3D printers. Shortly after that, I was selling tiny house products and standing desks and golf simulators. And I quickly realized, number one, we live in a massive, massive country here in the USA. There is a lot of people who like to spend a lot of money and they spend it, right? So while I couldn't conceptualize spending that kind of money, people are in the market for these things constantly. So I don't know what the risk is people are identifying. For me, it felt risky that I didn't think there was enough to go around. I thought the pie was only so big. And of course, all these behemoths are making all the sales, when reality is there is 40 million small businesses in America, and they make up the majority of the sales that happen here, and you can be one of those companies too. When you think of risk, John, why is high ticket feel more risky, or why have you perceived that from people entering our course?
Yeah, well, I'll answer that, and I'll answer what the real risk in this question is, right? So I think people assume that it might be riskier because the products are more expensive. And what if I get returns, right? What if I get returns or something like that? Maybe I'll get stuck with a product. Maybe I'll be thousands of dollars out of pocket. And look, I mean, that is a possibility, right? I mean, yes, returns happen in high ticket businesses, and we've seen so many, hundreds and hundreds that are active in selling products. The return rate on high ticket products is less than 1%, like less than 1% of total orders, for sure. It's probably even a point something percent, right? So that means you do 100 orders, maybe you get one return or less. And, you know, in most cases, you're going to be able to deal with that with the supplier, you're going to sort it out. So whereas if you're selling cheap, crappy products from AliExpress, like Ben's monocle that doesn't even work, your risk of returns is actually much higher. Your risk of dissatisfied customers is much higher. Your risk of chargebacks is much higher. Your risk of customers providing poor feedback to the advertising platforms that you use, and they do check, right? Like Facebook asks customers after you've bought something off a Facebook ad, are you happy? If you get bad feedback scores, your account gets banned overnight. Then you've got no way to get customers and your business is finished. That's not going to happen with high ticket products. It's just not going to happen. And so I think that's the risk of returns. I get it. I get why you would think that from the outside, but you're making that judgment without any facts to base it on. You know, it's just an assumption. And it's an important question to ask, but it's not backed up by any actual data that is a higher risk. I think the real risk here, honestly, for people in my mind, when the question of should I do high ticket or low ticket is, I think the low ticket option is a more risky option. Like when people are going into business, they're like, I don't want to risk money. I don't want to risk time that I'm not going to get a return on. And the reality is that low ticket drop shipping can work, but it's much harder, right? And the bit that's much harder that nobody tells you about, none of the, you know, pimply faced gurus who are pushing this around on Facebook or TikTok or whatever tell you about, is that the marketing is way harder, right? Profitably selling $10 to $30 products on social media is hard, right? It's hard. I looked in one of our students who I'm working with one-to-one at the account the other day. He did $70,000 in sales on a high-ticket dropshipping business off just over $1,000 in ad spend, right? So I don't know what that ROAS number is. It's like, I don't know, 60 times ROAS or something. Like you cannot produce that with low ticket products. You cannot produce that with low ticket products. It is impossible. You would be lucky off $1,000 in ad spend to sell $1,000 in revenue on low ticket products. You have to be a really good marketer. And so what is most likely to happen is, yeah, you might not get stung with expensive returns or anything. You're just going to spend a lot of money on marketing that you're not going to see a return on, because you have to be an A-level marketer to profitably sell low ticket products at scale. So when we talk about 30,000 in revenue, 100,000 a month in revenue, $1 million a month in revenue, at which point you're having to do like hundreds of thousands of individual orders to get to an eight-figure business. The marketing behind that is insane. And your chances of doing that anytime, getting to the point where you're good enough to manage that, are slim to none. What's going to happen is you're just going to lose a bunch of money in the process. You're going to feel defeated, and you're probably going to walk away from running a business yourself in the future at all. And to me, that's a much bigger risk. Like your opportunity cost here is massive. If you go and start a business model where you have next to no chance of success out of the gate. And so to me, that's actually the bigger risk in this question. Don't risk your shot at being an entrepreneur on something that works less well. Like I'm all for people taking action and doing something, but realistically, there is no difference. Realistically, what happens there is most people who try something once, if they fail, they won't try again. And so I just say, why set yourself up for failure from the get-go? It doesn't make sense because there's no reason you would, like, I don't see any reason why you would go the low ticket path when you could go the high ticket path. Like, there is not a single, not a single redeeming quality. And trust me, I'd be all for it if there was. Like, I'd love to be able to do both. I'd love to be able to do low ticket dropshipping and high ticket dropshipping, right? But it just doesn't add up. And so we don't do it. It's not that, like, we're so wedded to high ticket that we won't even consider low ticket and blah, blah, blah. I'd do anything in business that's profitable. Like, don't get me wrong. I love making money, right?
Low ticket dropshipping doesn't. Side of thing. Back to the it's a business model side of things. When the people say dropshipping, that's something I heard recently. I got a new haircut guy. His name's Kyle, by the way. He's pretty good. Check out the flow. he's like, I tried dropshipping. It didn't work. And I was just like, oh, can we go deeper? And again, it's this low ticket stuff. You know, to your point, right? I put in $1 million. I was part of a business where our average order value was 5,000. We had to do 200 orders that year to hit $1 million. That's less than an order a day, right? And if you go back to, and I'll be generous and say $50, that's 20,000 orders. That's like 60 a day that you have to process to get to $1 million, right? And just so to me, that's a huge factor. The fact that you have to generate demand, you have to be a good marketer, you have to convince people to buy your shitty product versus they're already interested in a high quality, high end product. They've done research on the brand. Demand capture versus demand generation really stands out to me. I know you mentioned returns, John, so I want to throw this out there. If you're on the podcast player, episode 128 and episode 55, we go deep on the return stuff. If that's a real fear of you, go check out those episodes. They're really good. They are titled How Do You Handle Returns in a Shopify Dropshipping Business? And something similar if you want to look for those on YouTube as well. But, you know, circling back, right? Like, I like that you can start for less. So oftentimes we get people who not only try dropshipping or consider dropshipping, they thought about other business models too, right? So franchises, which I've definitely considered, but I still think a taco place in my little town here in Wisconsin would do fantastic. I would love to open one, but they cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to open a franchise, right? Or, you know, launching your own brand. You need to do research. You need to get samples, which costs money, air freighting those back and forth, right? You need to place a large order to get started, probably $2,000 to $20,000, somewhere in that range to get started with your own brand of product. Then you launch and you kind of hope, right? And the cash conversion cycle, meaning when you actually get to take money out of the business, is very long in that type of model. Like, you launch, you sell half your stock, you start selling product, which means you got to take that money to go buy more stock, and then you sell half of that, and you never seem to get over this hump where you actually get cash out of your business. So you are wealthy on paper, but you're not super wealthy in your bank account. And it's a frustrating journey to be on. I'm on it myself. I have a pet supplement company. I understand that process. It's tough. And to me, cash flow is king, right? So when I think of a high ticket dropshipping business, there isn't a lot of overhead. There isn't a lot to get started, which I'll go through here in a second, but you can actually take cash out of the business month after month after month and put it in your pocket, let alone credit card rewards, John. You know, I love some credit card rewards. We could go deep on that, but credit card rewards are wonderful in America, especially in a business like this. But I mentioned you can start for less than $500, and I want to walk through that real quick, right? So you need a domain, $12. That's your URL. You need Shopify, which I believe is $39 a month, or you can start a $1 trial through our link, dropshipbreakthrough.com/Shopify, if you want to try that out. You might want to get a theme. I don't think you need one out of the gates. If you feel like joining Dropship Breakthrough, we actually give you the Superstore theme, which costs, I think, $400 now. We give it to you, we buy you your own copy, and we give you multiple videos on how to make that theme even better for SEO, for your business in general. But you don't need one. You can start without one. In fact, the 3dprinterguy.com, I started without one. I think you can go far enough back on Wayback Machine and see what it looked like when I first started as well, if you want to. You need Google Workspace, which is you having your own email. So john@mynewhighticketdropshippingbusiness.com. That's Google Workspace. I do think you possibly get a deal on that through our link, dropshipbreakthrough.com/Google, if you want to check that out. You need a phone number. Many of our students do it for free and use Google Voice. We recommend Grasshopper. You can check that out at dropshipbreakthrough.com/Grasshopper. That's about $40 a month for your own 800 number. There are many other companies as well. And so we like Grasshopper. We have students who use Aircall. We have students who use Mighty Call. We have students all over the place. Again, tons of them using the free option here. You're going to need a little branding. So when someone actually lands on your website, it has a logo, has some decent looking images, and maybe a color scheme for you. You can get most of that done at Fiverr.com, F-I-V-E-R-R.com. Try not to get too lost going down the rabbit hole of things you can buy on Fiverr.com, but you can get some branding on there for $25. The biggest expense after that is Google Ads. You need to run ads to attract customers. So let's imagine that you've set up your domain, you've set up Shopify, you've called suppliers, you've got some brands on board, you've uploaded their products, you've sent your products to Google Merchant Center, and now you're ready to run Google Ads. You have to spend money there, but Google wants you to spend money there, and they're going to give you a beautiful little coupon of spend $150 and get your next $150 free. Or if you sleuth just a little bit, you'll find a spend $500 and get your next $500 free. And I would imagine if you follow what we've taught you in this podcast and the other couple hundred shows that we've done, or you're in our course, you're going to get a sale out of that first allocation of money, the 150 plus 150, or certainly the 500 plus 500. And then you can take that profit and roll it back in. And so all of that using the 150 method is well under $500 to get started. At that point, you have built a business. You have built a repeatable process to make profit, as John likes to say, or something along those lines. And the biggest expense in that whole thing is your sweat equity, is your time, which is going to pass anyway, whether you're watching Netflix or you're playing Call of Duty or you're scrolling TikTok. All of that time is going to pass anyway. And I encourage you to take that time and build a business. Like, I want you to change your life really, really bad. And I don't care if you do it with our course or not. I'd love for you to be in our community. But many people have started for free just listening to a show like this and investing their sweat equity and less than $500 to get a business started.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.